decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen. It is I, your squirrel, the host, coming to you from the Aaron Studios, high atop the tallest tree in the Piney Woods. Somebody sent me an email the other day. What is the ARN Studios? That's the Arboreal Rodent Network. So this is the ARN Network, and I am your squirrel. Good to have you with us. This is Squirrel Chatter, a podcast that is dedicated to the public reading of scriptures primarily, and then to my thoughts on various topics. Historical, biblical, theological, current eventical, all sorts of things that I work on, that I think about, that I think you should be interested in, and hopefully you are, because there are quite a few of you actually that tune in regularly, so that's kind of nice to have you with us. Squirrel Chatter is a part of the Christian Podcast Community, and I encourage you to head on over to christianpodcastcommunity.com. There are lots of good podcasts over there, and more are being added all the time. So you will find something over there worth listening to, and I highly encourage you. It's better than what you're going to find most other places. Now, as I said today, program note. We are going to be live today, obviously, if you're watching us live. And we're going to be live tomorrow morning, then beginning Thursday morning, you will be getting pre-recorded episodes of Squirrel Chatter as I am heading down to the Shepherd's Conference. I've got 2 days to drive down there. I'll be driving down there Thursday and Friday. I'll be hanging out during the weekend with friends of mine, going to church at Grace on Sunday morning. And then Monday and Tuesday, I'm taking part in the G3 Expository Preaching Workshop that's led by Tom Buck, of course, who heads up the whole expository workshop thing, and Vody Bachum and Josh Bice. So that's going to be fun. And that's Monday and Tuesday, and that's at Santa Clarita Baptist Church. I think it's full, guys. It's limited to like 80 people, and I think they filled up. It was open longer than I thought it would be. I thought it would fill up much quicker, but I think they filled up a couple of weeks ago, finally. And then Shepherd's Conference is Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of next week. And then I'll be driving back the following Monday and Tuesday. Now, I will be preaching next week at Calvary Baptist of Burbank. Not this Sunday, but the Sunday after. I'll be preaching the evening service. So the Sunday after Shepherd's Conference, I am scheduled to preach the evening service at Calvary Baptist of Burbank. So if you're in the area and you get tired of all the good sermons you're going to be hearing from guys like MacArthur and Phil Johnson and Mike Riccardi and everybody that you're going to get to listen to at the Shepherd's Conference, and you just want to hear a mediocre sermon, come Sunday night to Calvary Baptist Burbank, because I'd love to see you. All right, so our scripture today is going to be Leviticus 26 and 27, Psalm 112, and Hebrews chapter 10. And then afterwards, I want to discuss, kind of get away from the Ukraine thing. Not that it isn't important. It is important, but my brain's getting very tired about it. And I just want to discuss some other things that have been on my mind for years, actually. So this is going to be my proposals for adjustments to the United States political system. So I hope to share that with you, and maybe some of that will resonate with you. And tomorrow when you listen, or Thursday when you listen to the, I've already recorded Thursday, and we are doing the Theology Thursday, and you will get a laugh out of that, because I had just done all my notes for the 1689 chapter 6, or paragraph 6, chapter 3, paragraph 6, and I had done my notes for the 1689 chapter 3, paragraph 7, which is a week from Thursday, and I when I started to introduce the chapter 6, I started talking all about chapter or paragraph 6. I started talking about, paragraph 7. And so that kind of amused me because I got way off track. So you'll get the introduction to paragraph 7 and then the discussion of paragraph 6. So that'll be amusing, I hope. It amused me when I did it. I'll just put it that way. All right, well, let's begin then. We always start as we always do with prayers from the Book of Common Prayer of 1552. And this is the prayer of confession. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. And now our prayer for the reading of the word. Blessed Lord, who hast caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, Leviticus chapter 26. Again, we are reading in the Legacy Standard Bible translation. You shall not make for yourselves idols, nor shall you set up for yourselves a graven image or a sacred pillar, nor shall you place a carved stone in your land to bow down to it, for I am Yahweh your God. You shall keep my Sabbaths and fear my sanctuary. I am Yahweh. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments so as to do them, then I shall give you rains in their season, so that the land will give forth its produce, and the trees of the field will give forth their fruit. Indeed, your threshing will last for you until grape gathering, and grape gathering will last until sowing time. You will thus eat your food in the full and live securely in your land. I shall also give you peace in the land, so that you may lie down, with no one making you tremble. I shall also eliminate wild beasts from the land, and no sword will pass through your land. But you will pursue your enemies, and they will fall before you by the sword. And 5 of you will pursue 100, and 100 of you will pursue 10,000, and your enemies will fall before you by the sword. So I will turn toward you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and I will confirm my covenant with you. And you will eat the old supply, and clear out the old because of the new. Moreover, I will make my dwelling among you, and my soul will not loathe you. I will also walk among you, and be your God, and you shall be my people. I am Yahweh your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, so that you would not be their slaves. And I broke the bars of your yoke and made you walk erect. But if you do not obey me, and do not do all these commandments, if instead you reject my statutes, and if your soul loathes my judgment so as not to do all my commandments, and so break my covenant, I in turn will do this to you. I will appoint over you a sudden terror, consumption and fever that will waste away the eyes and cause the soul to pine away. Also, you will sow your seed uselessly, for your enemies will eat it up, and I will set my face against you, so that you will be defeated before your enemies, and those who hate you will have dominion over you, and you will flee when no one is pursuing you. If also after these things you do not obey me, then I will discipline you 7 times more for your sins. I will also break down your pride of strength. I will also give your sky over to become like iron, and your earth like bronze, and your power will be spent uselessly. For your land will not give forth its produce, and the trees of the land will not give forth their fruit. If then you walk in hostility against me and are unwilling to obey me, I will increase the plague on you 7 times according to your sins. And I will send out among you the beasts of the field, which will bereave you of your children and cut down your cattle and reduce your number so that your roads lie desolate. And if by these things you do not accept my discipline, but walk in hostility against me, then I will walk in hostility against you, and I, even I, will strike you 7 times for your sins. I will also bring upon you a sword which will execute vengeance for the covenant. And when you gather together into your cities, I will send pestilence among you, so that you shall be given over into enemy hands. When I break your staff of bread, 10 women will bake your bread in one oven, and they will bring back your bread by rationed weight, so that you will eat and not become full. Yet, if in spite of this you do not obey me, but walk in hostility against me, then I will walk in wrathful hostility against you, and I, even I, will discipline you 7 times for your sins. Further, you will eat the flesh of your sons and the flesh of your daughters you will eat. I then will destroy your high places and cut down your incense altars and give your corpses to lie on the corpses of your idols, for my soul shall loathe you. And I will give your cities over as a waste and will make your sanctuaries desolate. And I will not smell your soothing aromas, and I will make the land desolate, so that your enemies who inhabit it will themselves feel desolate because of it. You, however, I will scatter among the nations and will draw out a sword after you, as your land becomes desolate and your cities become waste. Then the land will make up for its Sabbaths all the days of the desolation, and you will be in your enemy's land. Then the land will rest and make up for its Sabbaths. All the days of its desolation it will observe the rest which it did not observe on your Sabbaths while you were living on it. As for those of you who may remain, I will also bring weakness into the heart of the hands of the enemies, and the sound of a driven leaf will pursue them. And even when no one is pursuing, they will flee as though from the sword, and they will fall. They will therefore stumble over each other as if running from the sword, although no one is pursuing. And you will have no strength to stand up before your enemies, but you will perish among the nations, and your enemies' land will consume you. So those of you who remain will rot away in their iniquity in the lands of your enemies, and also in the iniquities of their fathers they will rot away with them. If they confess their iniquity in the iniquity of their fathers, in their unfaithfulness which they committed against me, and also how they walked in hostility against me, I also was walking in hostility against them to bring them into the land of their enemies, or if their uncircumcised heart becomes humbled so then they make up for their iniquity, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob, and I will remember also my covenant with Isaac and my covenant with Abraham as well, and I will remember the land, for the land will be forsaken by them and will make up for its Sabbaths while it is made desolate without them. They, meanwhile, will be making up for their iniquity because they rejected my judgments, and their soul loathed my statutes. Yet, in spite of this, when they are in the land of their enemies, I will not reject them, nor will I so loathe them as to bring an end to them, breaking my covenant with them, for I am Yahweh their God. But I will remember for them the covenant with their ancestors, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the nations, that I might be their God. I am Yahweh. These are the statutes and judgments and laws which Yahweh has given to be between himself and the sons of Israel by the hand of Moses at Mount Sinai. Chapter 27. Then Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the sons of Israel, and say to them, When a man makes a difficult vow, he shall be valued according to your valuation of persons belonging to Yahweh. If your valuation is of the male from 20 years even to 60 years old, then your valuation shall be 50 shekels of silver, according to the shekel of the sanctuary. Or, if it is a female, then your valuation shall be 30 shekels. If it be from 5 years even to 20 years old, when your valuation for the male shall be 20 shekels, and for the female 10 shekels. But if they are from a month even up to 5 years old, then your valuation shall be 5 shekels of silver for the male, and for your female your valuation shall be 3 shekels of silver. If they are from 60 years old and upward, if it is a male, then your valuation shall be 15 shekels, and for the female 10 shekels. But if he is poorer than your valuation, then he shall be presented before the priest, and the priest shall value him according to the means of the one who vowed. The priest shall value him. Now if it is an animal of the kind which men can bring near as an offering to Yahweh, any such that one gives to Yahweh shall be holy. He shall not replace it or exchange it, a good for a bad or a bad for a good. Or if he does exchange animal for animal, then both it and its substitute shall become holy. If, however, it is any unclean animal of the kind which men do not bring near as an offering to Yahweh, then he shall present the animal before the priest, and the priest shall value it as either good or bad, as you, the priest, value it. So it shall be. But if he should ever wish to redeem it, then he shall add 1/5 of it to your valuation. Now if a man sets his house apart as holy to Yahweh, then the priest shall value it as either good or bad, as the priest values it, so it shall stand. Yet if the one who sets it apart as holy should wish to redeem his house, then he shall add 1/5 of your valuation price to it, so that it may be his. Again, if a man sets apart as holy to Yahweh a portion of the fields of his own possession, then your valuation shall be proportionate to the seed needed for it, a homer of barley seed at 50 shekels of silver. If he sets apart his field as holy from the year of Jubilee, according to your valuation it shall stand. If he sets apart his field as holy after the Jubilee, however, then the priest shall calculate the price for him proportionate to the years that are left until the year of Jubilee, and it shall be deducted from your valuation. If the one who sets it apart as holy should ever wish to redeem the field, then he shall add 1/5 of your valuation price to it, so that it may stand as his own. Yet if he will not redeem the field, but has sold the field to another man, it may no longer be redeemed. And it will be that when it reverts in the Jubilee, the field shall be holy to Yahweh, like a field that is devoted. It shall be for the priest as his possession. Or if he sets apart as holy to Yahweh a field which he has bought, which is not a portion of the field of his own possession, then the priest shall calculate for him the amount of your valuation up to the year of Jubilee, and he shall on that day give your valuation as holy to Yahweh. In the year of Jubilee, the field shall return to the one from whom he bought it, to whom the possession of the land belongs. Every valuation of yours, moreover, shall be according to the shekel of the sanctuary. The shekel shall be 20 gerahs. However, a firstborn among animals, which as a firstborn belongs to Yahweh, no man may set apart as holy. Whether ox or sheep, it is Yahweh's. But if it is among the unclean animals, then he shall redeem it, he shall ransom it, according to your valuation, and add to it 1/5 of it. And if it is not redeemed, then it shall be sold according to your valuation. Nevertheless, anything which a man devotes to Yahweh out of all that he has, of man or animal or of the fields or his own possession, he shall not be sold or redeemed. Anything devoted to destruction is most holy to Yahweh. No one who may have been devoted among men shall be ransomed. He shall surely be put to death. Thus all the tithe of the land, of the seed of the fruit of the land, of the seed of the lamb or of the fruit of the tree belong to Yahweh. It is holy to Yahweh. If, therefore, a man wishes to redeem part of his tithe, he shall add to it 1/5 of it. For every 10th part of herd or flock, whatever passes under the rod, the 10th one shall be holy to Yahweh. He shall not inquire whether it is good or bad, nor shall he exchange it. Or, if he does exchange it, then both it and its substitute shall become holy. It shall not be redeemed. These are the commandments which Yahweh commanded Moses for the sons of Israel at Mount Sinai. The 112th Psalm. Praise Yah! How blessed is the man who fears Yahweh, who greatly delights in his commandments. His seed will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness stands forever. Light arises in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious and compassionate and righteous. It is well with the man who is gracious and lends, who sustains his works with justice, for he will never be shaken. The righteous will be remembered forever, for he will not fear an evil report. His heart is set, trusting in Yahweh. His heart is upheld, he will not fear. until he looks in triumph on his adversaries. He has given freely to the needy. His righteousness stands forever. His horn will be raised in glory. The wicked will see it and be vexed. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked will perish. Hebrews chapter 10. For the law, since it is only a shadow of the good things to come and not the very form of things, can never, by the same sacrifice which they offer continually year by year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered, because the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have consciousness of sin? But in those sacrifices there is a reminder of sins year by year, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, "Sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have taken no pleasure." Then I said, "Behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God." After saying above, "Sacrifices and offerings, and burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have not desired, nor have you taken pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law," he then said, "Behold, I have come to do your will." He takes away the first in order to establish the second. But by this will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands daily, ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting for that time until his enemies are put as a footstool for his feet. For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who were being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us. For after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them, after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws upon their heart, and on their mind I will write them," he then says, "And their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." Now where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy by the mouth of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as defiled the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," and again, "The Lord will judge his people." It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But remember the former days when, after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of sufferings, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and afflictions, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you also showed sympathy to the prisoners, and accepted with joy the seizure of your possessions, knowing that you have for yourselves a better and lasting possession. Therefore, do not throw away that confidence of yours, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not be delayed. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But if we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. This is the word of God. Now the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now the collect for grace. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings may be ordered by thy governance to do always that is righteous in thy sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, well, the topic of the day, as I said, is my proposals for adjustments to the United States political system. And yes, these will require constitutional amendments. And after I read these, you'll probably wonder why I'm not in government. Yes, so anyway, the first thing is term limits. Term limits for all elective offices. 2 consecutive terms in a particular office. You can serve 2 terms in the House of Representatives. You can't run for a third term. You can serve 2 terms in the Senate. You can't run for a third term. You can serve 2 terms as president. You can't run for a third term. Now, the key is here, consecutive terms. So, you can serve 2 consecutive terms, sit out a term, and then run for that same office again. So, you could serve, you know, the House of Representatives elected every 2 years. You could serve 4 years in the House, sit out 2 years, and then run for your seat again. But you don't get to keep any seniority. If you're elected to that term, you start out as a freshman congressman with the lowest level of seniority. When we watch the State of the Union tonight, and I probably am not going to watch, just because it would aggravate me, and I've got too much stuff to do getting ready for my trip. But if you watch the State of the Union tonight, you're going to see sitting behind President Biden, the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi has been in office in the Congress since Paul's third missionary journey. She's been there forever. She's, gosh, in her 80s, maybe older, I don't know. And she has been continuously in the Congress for all these years. Why? This was not the intent of the founders. They had never intended for this to be a career. They intended it to be citizen legislators. You know, people from everyday run of life, from business, from industry, from farming, whatever, would give up a couple of years of their life and go serve in Washington. And then they would go home and back to their business. So we need to have term limits, 2 consecutive terms. Now, you can run for a third term. You know, looking at the last few presidents, after serving 8 years, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, and Barack Obama were all relatively young. They could have sat out for 4 years and then run again. I'd be perfectly fine with that. I might not vote to reelect them, but I'd be fine with them being able to run again. Or currently President Trump. He only served 1 term. If he actually does run in 2024, which it's looking like he will, and if he is elected, which I would imagine he would be, then he would be able to serve 2 consecutive terms under my proposal. Under the current rules, the current Constitution, and I don't remember the amendment number. I should look these things up before I start talking about them. We have an amendment that limits the President of the United States to 2 terms. Absolute. My proposal would change that to 2 consecutive terms. And that would be at every level of elected office. You can serve two consecutive terms, then you can sit out a term, and then you can run again if you really want to. But you don't get to keep all those perks. You don't get to keep all those, your seniority, etc. The other thing is, you shouldn't be allowed to run for 2 offices at the same time. Now, we see this every presidential cycle. We see congressmen and senators and sometimes even governors running for both their current office, which is up for re-election, and throwing their hat in the ring for president. No. Pick one. You get to run for 1 elected office and 1 only. If you file for another election at the same time, then both of them are null and void and you can't run at all. None of this running for president, but hey, I'm also running for my House seat. So if I don't get the nomination for president, hey, at least I get to stay in the House of Representatives. All right, we had this with Kamala Harris. Yeah, she was in the Senate. Now, was she running for re-election in the Senate, or was she just in the middle of her term? I don't know. I'd have to go back and look. But she was serving in the Senate, and she ran for president, or for vice president. Well, she ran for president, and then she ended up running for vice president with Biden. No. Pick an office. You shouldn't be able to run for a different elective office if its term begins before your current term of office ends. Pick one. If you're going to run for president, you can't run for the Senate. If you are serving in an office, then the term of that office doesn't end before the term of the office you're running for starts. So let's say Barack Obama, when he ran, he was in 2008, he was 2 years into his 6-year Illinois Senate term when he ran for president. He didn't resign from the Senate until after he was elected president. If he'd have lost the presidential race, he'd have still been a senator. No. If you're running for president, you're not paying attention to your job as a senator. You can't run for an office. If you're 2 years into your Senate term and you want to run for president, you need to resign from the Senate. Same thing with governor races. Both Bill Clinton and George W. Bush were 2 years into 4-year governor terms when they ran for president. Both of them after promising not to run for president, at least Clinton had promised when he went for re-election, because it was his 2nd term as governor of Arkansas. When he went for re-election as governor of Arkansas, he promised the people of Arkansas that he would not run for president in 2 years. Guess what he did? I know, politicians. So, yeah, no, you have to resign that office. If you're running for president, you're not paying attention to the office you're holding, and you're not doing the job to the best of your ability because your attention is all on running for the next office. So that's you can't run for a different office, and you can't run for 2 elective offices at the same time. That seems fairly simple to me. Third thing is, no outside income of any kind. All of your stocks and business investments must be put in a blind trust, and you cannot draw income from that trust while you are in office or for 5 years after. And it must remain in a blind trust for 5 years after you leave office. There's been a lot of talk recently about, you know, congressmen not being allowed to trade stocks. I think that's absolutely, absolutely essential. And this applies to spouses, children, siblings, etc. Especially spouses, because the income of a married couple is intrinsically tied. And so, yeah, this applies to both both spouses. No outside income. So if you're married to a congressman, you cannot have a job. If you're married to a senator, you cannot have an outside job. You cannot be receiving income. Volunteer work, fine. But you cannot receive an income from any source. No speaking fees, no jobs, none of that. No gifts of any kind. You can't accept a free ice cream cone. If you are serving in elective office, you can accept no gifts of any kind. That includes Christmas gifts from your family. You know, your son can't give you a new pocket watch at Christmas. Nothing. That's something that you give up to serve in the government. And you have to give it up for 5 years, at least 5 years after you step down. You can't take another job. You have to live off your congressional pension. I have no problem with congressional pensions. But, you know, how many times do we see somebody who has a net worth of a few hundred thousand dollars, who gets into an elected office, who ends up, you know, an elective office that pays, what, $130,000, $140,000 a year? Yet within just a couple of years, they're multimillionaires. You know, speaking fees, book deals, all of that. No, none of it. You cannot accept any outside income while you are serving and for 5 years after. And like I say, this applies to spouses, children, siblings, etc. That there is no way that a sitting congressional, your books have to be wide open. I think your income and expenses as a member of Congress, not your net worth. That's all in a blind trust. And you know, you own a house, that's fine. But you can't sell that house while you're serving because you would make money. Because, I'll buy your rundown old cabin in the woods for $4.7 million, Mr. Congressman. Yeah, remember that legislation we were talking about last week? Yeah, no, none of that. You can't even sell your house. Can't sell your car. You know, deal with what you got for your term of office and 5 years after. What if your car breaks down? Well, buy it out of your congressional salary. You know, I mean, you're making $140,000 a year. You can buy a $30,000 Hyundai. Okay, you may not be able to buy a Lamborghini or a Mercedes. Most people can't. Big deal. Deal with it. And then finally, a balanced budget. And this is an idea that I actually originally saw from Warren Buffett, which is kind of funny. And I'll link the article. He made comments on CNBC, and I've got an article that I will link to share that his remarks. He had some more proposals that are similar to some of the things that I've said, but some of them are different. Like, he would do away with all congressional pensions. I'd rather have a guy drawing a congressional pension for 5 years after he steps down than receiving gifts and payments from somewhere else. But anyway, here's the idea. The government is not allowed to spend any more in fiscal year Y plus one than the government took in revenue during fiscal year Y. So this is 2022. 2021's over. We know how much taxes were paid in 2021. Now, granted, you know, we've got until April 15th for all of the filings to be done and everything. But, I mean, the taxes for 2021 have been paid. The government should not be allowed to spend more this year than they made in taxes last year. That's simple. Live within your means. Now, and this is the part that I drew from Warren Buffett. In an emergency, and let's say there's a legitimate emergency where we need to spend more money than we took in last year. a war, a huge national disaster, something where we've got to spend money in excess of what we received in taxes last year. These things can happen. We all have emergencies. I mean, that's why we all have credit cards, right? You know, you didn't budget for it, but you have car repairs. Aren't you glad you have a Visa and you can pay it off for, in a few months? You don't have to come up with the cash right now. That's credit working for you, not you working for credit. And so there might be an emergency. There might be a situation where the government needs to spend money now that exceeds the amount of revenue received in the previous year. That is legitimate. But here's the thing. In an emergency, if Congress should vote a deficit, they can, but every sitting congressman, regardless of whether they voted for the excess spending or against the excess spending, the entire Congress is not eligible for re-election. Nor can they ever hold public office again, nor can they ever hold appointed office again. So they can't become Secretary of State. They can't become Secretary of the Treasury. They can never serve in government again. So the incentive here is, okay, you have an emergency. It's a legitimate emergency. Is it legitimate enough that with your character and your drive to do the right thing, you are willing to give up any possibility of any future political career? Are you willing to sacrifice your political career to do the right thing for the country if you have to spend a deficit? Now, what would that do to congressional spending? And then there's all sorts of things. You know, Congress needs to be beholden to the laws that they pass. There are many laws that are exempted by Congress. And a lot of this is discussed in that Warren Buffett article that I'm going to link. And remember, I don't agree with Warren Buffett politically on a lot of things. But he's a smart man, and I like his ideas here. But he's talking about the fact that, I can't remember what I was going to say. It was a good point, though. Read the article. The links are in the show notes. But the Congress needs to be reined in. And the congressional spending is ridiculous. Oh, the other thing was healthcare and retirement. He said that, do away with the congressional pensions, make them live on Social Security. If we did that, then they would be able to draw their congressional salary for 5 years after they leave office because they can't accept any outside income. So if they're not at retirement age, they can draw their, well, even if they're at retirement age, they can draw their congressional salary for 5 years after they step out of office, but then they're into the Social Security system. They don't get their separate retirement plan. They can buy private retirement plans that they pay for themselves, just like every American can, but they're just a part of the Social Security system. That works. They don't get a separate healthcare system. They're part of Medicare, just like everybody else when they retire or they buy their own private healthcare insurance. They don't get, do they get insurance while they're in office? Do they get medical treatment while they're in office? Sure. Just like, a guy that works for General Motors gets health insurance. Perfectly fine with that. But they don't get a separate health program for the rest of their lives. These are other ideas that Warren Buffett puts forth. But definitely they have to be subject to the same laws. A lot of the laws Congress passes, they exempt Congress from. So some of the things that they pass on employment, employee issues, don't apply to congressmen and their employees. So that's a problem. So they need to be subject to the same laws. Everybody's under the law. Everybody's equal under the law. Congress should not be allowed to exempt themselves from any of their laws. So those are my proposals for adjustments to the American political system and ponder those. Think about what a big change that would make. It would be a huge change, and I think they would be worthwhile changes. So, but, of course, nobody's going to listen to me. All right, folks. Have a great Tuesday. Do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not to do. And whatever you do, do it for the glory of the Lord. See you again here tomorrow for another episode of Squirrel Chatter Live.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.